And welcome, welcome, welcome here on your number one talk radio station. And this is your Business and Economic Zone here on this lovely Tuesday late afternoon. Well, it actually is already nighttime. But the key thing here is that I'm slightly excited. Not slightly. I am a bit, you know, sort of like excited in terms of the prospect. Well, guys, where we find ourselves is sort of like a key intersection. And this is a key industrial intersection. A key industrial intersection that seems to provide the possible fuel for the future. I say possible fuel for the future because it looks enticing. It looks shiny. It looks, you know, like a new toy that a child is, you know, excited about. Something new to play with. Well, I'm not saying that hydrogen is something new, because hydrogen is probably one of the most dangerous things that have ever been used in a military sense. And yes, I'm talking about the green hydrogen component. And yes, you've heard me earlier today in terms of on the radar, in terms of giving that insights, and then also Valda providing you with the, extra add-ons. But our discussion, our direction takes one of a transport component. Well, here's the key thing, guys. For the past months, we've all been kept in limbo. We've all been kept in suspense. We've all been kept in expectation, in, you know, sort of like hammering, you know, when someone that has a lot of anxiety, they always sit there bouncing their knee or their one leg, you know, excessively. That's where we found ourselves. That's what we were doing. Because the excitement translates into the possibility, or in terms of revolutionizing the component of transport in this country. And also, most probably, transport all around the world. So you might be asking me, you know, Dwight, what's going on? You know, what is this so-called possible silver bullet that provides the cleanest fuel solution that you can think of currently in humanity? And also, on the other spectrum, has the possibility of revolutionizing an energy discussion across the board? Because the summary I had to provide in terms of the take that came through on the radar earlier today, for Justicia and Company and Co, was, you know, sort of like containing it as short and as sweet as possible. But if we had to now unpack and unbundle, I'm not gonna highlight, you know, some of the brains that will be part and parcel of this. Let's look at the possibility of where this new fuel can take us. And yes, this possibly does provide the aspect in terms of where Namibia most probably, well, we can become some sort of a continental leader in this new fuel solution. I stress this, guys, because it's key. We've got to understand this. It's key what this hydrogen or green hydrogen can do. So, step one, where do we start? So, we start at the component in terms of what's going to happen. Now, in the presentations, the earliest parts of the presentations today, just before the first set of panel discussions, was the component coming from the presidential advisor, Mr. James Mnube, where he indicated the various sort of like zones where these projects would be housed. Now, there are three. I mentioned that there are three. Yes, they're potentially going to be three. I say potentially going to be three, because number three is in the Kunene region on a stretch of the coastline where you and I, we all know there's currently nothing there. Secondly, the second one will be in the Erongo region at the Swakop-Walvis Bay vicinity. And lastly, The third one will be in Luderitz, the big one. Now, those are the three sets where green hydrogen will be produced, stored, and most probably transported. But then we get to the transportation factor. The transportation factor has the opportunity to revolutionize rail, air, and road transport in the scope of heavy-duty or haulage, heavy vehicle movements. A train is a heavy vehicle, is a heavy-duty vehicle. It pulls a lot heavier loads than a truck can. Just that it's probably at a slower pace, but it can pull a larger load than a truck. Now, the first one was the revolutionary component that will work with Transnumber, that being the hybrid locomotive answer, which is, it's beautiful. Let me say it's beautiful. Guys, anyone that loves machinery, you will be impressed in terms of these discussions or early discussions that took place, because it's lovely. Hearing of a hybrid train, you go like, wow, those are the things you only see on, you know, science programs and science discussion points happening all around the world. But the key factor here is that when you have to look at how this can essentially assist one of the key infrastructure components of our country. Transport is a key infrastructure component. You get transport, you get utilities, water and electricity, then you get sort of like governance, and then you get, you know, the other forms of government and so forth in a country's economy. So you've got transport, communication, yes, it's transport, communications, utilities, which is water and electricity, or main electrical grid, or the electricity grid, and then you get the water supply grid, or water supply infrastructure. And those are sort of like the key infrastructure components around a country, any country that you go to that's a modern economy. Now, when there is the possibility of revolutionizing a transport component or transport infrastructure of a country, that is intense. That is immense, firstly. So intense and immense, what do I mean? Firstly, sustainability, going ahead. Now, some of the key components, or some of the key guys that are part and parcel of this entire discussion, or that were there at the conference earlier today, for example, the partners, the guys that work with the Alt-Avrenlist group, CMB Tech, they are a Dutch-German engineering company, and they've been researching hydrogen engines, almost like a diesel engine for a truck, the same size for boats and potentially also for trains. So then you see where that linkage comes in, because ultimately there needs to be a consumption need on our side. What we produce, we've got to consume as well.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika numpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kukuruga na yowamba. Moktura mwe hundiro lieyo wamba zuma okoko, zimo guwana kuma pukuru gumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero 0833-3858-2288. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
Now coming back, yes guys, I had to stop that our own filler ad there in terms of, you know, being excited and also getting this, getting into the nitty-gritties of our discussion. Now, here's the thing. Here's the main thing. When we are producing and it can also be converted into usage and consumption here in the country, this is key. The only thing so far has been in terms of these early, you know, the parts of the conference that I attended, in terms of looking for, you know, some semblance of seeing, you know, how widespread green hydrogen can be applied in terms of, you know, electricity to our houses, to urban to urban settlements or local authorities? You know, will it answer potentially like the electrification component? It did not. It did not. You know, those factors were not yet, that specific dot was not yet linked. The second thing was also trying to understand, you know, how it all balances up. Because if you can find a fuel source, understand guys, do never uncouple or de-link electricity from a fuel. A fuel can give you electricity. The question always associated to a fuel source is sustainability, cost effectiveness, the maintenance component of equipment, as well as also, you know, how well does it operate? Does the economies of scale add up? Now, if we stand the potential of revolutionizing a transport sector, we still have the option in terms of, you know, potentially linking this fuel source in with our electricity grid. But I'm sort of like overreaching and overstepping, and not overstepping, but overreaching. Because most of the key components, most of the key guys in the early presentations came through and only spoke about exportation, transportation, potentially involving new technology in terms of like the engines that are going to be used both in marine, in air, and in railway. But it was eliminated on the level of consumer usage by the guy from Worley International, the vice president of the organization, where he said, don't go to the consumer level as yet, to the cars. Now, here's the question, guys. Here's the question. If this energy source is or does show the promise, or, you know, it has the ability to lead us to the promised land of a green fuel with a sustainable future and looking ahead and in one way of combating climate change, and also at the other end, making Namibia this sought after hydrogen or green hydrogen exporter. Because this is the second component that was also being touted in terms of selling to markets. And here's the thing, guys. Here's the major thing. Namibia, and this was in the presentation, Namibia is one of the, it's number one or number two of the most suitable locations for a green hydrogen project to be implemented. I'll stress it again. One of the most suitable locations, or one of three most suitable locations on the planet. Not on the continent, on the planet. In order for this project to kick off. What does this mean, firstly? It's based upon the type of resource that can be harvested in order for the green hydrogen projects to work. Meaning, it's a specific kind of water that is needed. Meaning, it allows for sort of like optimum usage or optimum extraction to take place. And do you know why I say this? Because the guy from Worley International indicated this. I keep forgetting his name, but he's got a pretty long German name. He indicated this by saying, the key thing here is, it's based upon the climate, it's based upon the ocean currents or the temperature scenario here at our coastline that makes it so suitable. So it puts Namibia in such a key position. Yes, that's where the opportunity comes in. But the second question you'll be asking me, Dwight, if we're talking about opportunities, you know, what about the other components? But here's what you might be forgetting. And this is something I will reiterate again that I mentioned even with the oil finds off the southwestern coast of our country. You've got to look at a 5 to 10 year period, because the vice president of Worley International said, you've got to look at a 5 to 10 year period. And even by the end of said 10 year period, we're taking the maximum, meaning there could be another new super fuel source that could have taken place. Yes, I know, guys. Doubt is now creeping in into the discussion, because that means we are taking a risk, we are taking a gamble, getting into this position, and ultimately, people could have taken the technology and increased it in a different type of direction. Yes. But here's the thing. We come back. That means Namibia sits in such an ideal position. We can essentially monopolize that position that we find ourselves. Meaning, by the end or after having developed said technology, having developed said projects, having developed said trade routes in terms of selling off what we produce to the major markets of the world, that means we can also be in the best position to develop the technology to take it further in another step, to, you know, to sort of like, what do they call it? Product maturity, to mature the product, to mature the associated technologies alongside. So that means we can still monopolize the position that we are being flirted with. Think of it as if we are being flirted with, guys, you know? Make it so that we are now being sort of like, what's the word that I want to use? We are being courted. We are being courted. We are being taken to the best restaurant. We are being shown the best sights in the town and in the world. And, you know, we're just wearing the best outfits. We're wearing the best shoes. We're wearing the best jewelry. We're made to look special because we are key in this discussion. I have to say us, guys, because there's a spin-off in terms of where obviously the employment question comes in. But employment is a natural addition. Look, obviously, you don't want to go on such a grand scale of this magnitude or of this kind and not include Namibians. Not include Namibians. That is key. Not include Namibians. So, whether it be through TransNamib, because the transport function will work through TransNamib. The next question in terms of understanding if this technology would be extended or sort of like let's say extended. If it was also to be extended to a air travel component, who then would qualify? Remember, this is in Namibia. The potential exists for the whole, let's say, that large transport section, passenger, whether it's passenger transport or heavy vehicle transport, can take us to the next step. Now, the downside is the car manufacturers is the other downside. You see, even if we achieve the 10-year implementation, everything has been set up, the technology is running smoothly, things are running, the people in this country that own cars or that drive, you know, the smaller passenger transport vehicles like minibuses, not midi buses, but the minibuses, we will still be buying petrol. We will still be buying petrol. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, we as a country, we can go ahead with this solution. Because this is a solution. We can go ahead with a solution. The second part is whether or not our biggest SADC economy, or SADC's biggest economy, and Africa's most industrial economy, South Africa, will jump on this opportunity. I stress this again because there is no use having or containing a fuel of the future only in certain compartments or components of everyday Namibian life. There is no use to it. Just last week or the week before, I was going on a rant here about, you know, why haven't we provided a passenger solution in terms of, in order to mitigate spiraling fuel prices for passengers or for the passenger transport sector alone? You know, why in the 30 years of our country's, of our independent existence, haven't we found a solution in terms of bringing or mobilizing or converting or getting a passenger transport solution in our railway setup? Meaning, you have major commuting communities, 60 kilometers north, 90 kilometers south of the capital. There is major metropolitan communities in the far north, that being from Rundu to the 3-0 towns. You can even add in Katima, but I think there might be some logistical scenarios there in terms of geography with Katima. But still, you can take a risk. I mean, that's why you have engineers in our country, because it's their job to find these solutions. Secondly, two sort of like far flung southern urban settlements, Ludritz and Keetmanshoop, that are there as well. So, will this also allow to revolutionize the passenger transport component? We don't know, because I only sit here with the specifics in front of me. I sit with the specifics in the form of that the partner organization that's going to work with TransNumup in the locomotive aspect, in the railway component, are looking at conversions of locomotives. So conversions would mean the technology is there, it can be applied, meaning it can be put into practical use. But we've got to ask the question in terms of now where will TransNumup take this? Will it just be in haulage? Haulage meaning you only transport goods, you don't transport people. Will it only be in the haulage capacity? If it comes to potentially to heavy vehicles, heavy goods vehicles, transport sector, this is also a haulage aspect. Will it also just be contained there? When it comes to airplanes is the biggest passenger transport component, but we don't have a national airline anymore. So where's that technology going to be applied? Where's it going to be put in place for us Namibians to buy into the service, to buy into the technology, to make use of the technology? I stress this, guys, because it looks good. It looks good. I'm sold. I've been bought. Not sold. No, that's wrong. I've been bought. I've been bought and sold on the concepts that were presented. I'm bought. I am excited. I am excited. Because the real brains, the engineers, were talking. And they were all explaining in summarized discussions or in summarized sessions, they were explaining what they aim to bring. Now,
titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faguja, or my Tirorongo or Durataya Academic Year 2023, or Kapatruka, ended it up if you record a paparoe more education, Ukarolongi Fikora, either Ufe or Health and Social Science, or show my fano information and communication technology. Or strategic management and leadership, na taimonika no tourism, or show hospitality and event management, business administration, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Where are they? Monica ko website, www.ium.edu.na. Iro tarere po embiro da IUM, di kulipo pepe, mo venduka mo ngore nguru mo ngwediva no mo mpae utadi monika wireru tu hangi kongo di ya venduka 061 ongo di ne natunatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufetokorori rimonjira toiko mwona kui wainerao pamwena IUM.
Now, I come back from our extended break right there. And the key thing is, guys, because let's identify this firstly. And let's also acknowledge, in terms of passenger transport, that South Africa sits with that responsibility. South Africa sits with that control mechanism. But the nice thing is we can actually continue scaling up or actually skilling up and also potentially upgrading Namibia with this fuel source. Now, the nice thing is, and I'm also sitting with a graphic in front of me, is that there is actually a plan for a train to run throughout Namibia, actually also into Angola. Hydrogen trains to be operated by Transnamib. But that's, you know, one of the phases of the discussion. So it looks good. It looks great. As I said, I've been bought and I am sold on this discussion. I am convinced. But once again, this whole scenario speaks of an aspect of, firstly, generating, producing, and having the capacity to produce. But it speaks and feeds into a transport component. And the transport component is based upon the discussion of export. Exporting. Now, exporting, guys, means clients. Who are the clients? Who will the clients potentially be? Because who the clients potentially be includes us in a smaller sort of like zone aspect. But it also means that we've got to look at a solution that we are actually, as Namibians, as Namibia, we are being looked at as the solution for the future. Now, one of the key things is that the guy from Worley International, I keep forgetting his name. I have his name, but I keep forgetting it because I've got it in the graphic in front of me, is that the main scenario is there are these hydrogen projects all across the world. People are experimenting. People are moving ahead. People are not sitting still. However, the component in terms of Namibia playing a key role is that we've already got supply chain components almost set in place. I say almost because it would mean expansion on two coastal points on our coast, and also sort of like linking in on a land, you know, on fixed land component, linking in a handful of other countries. That means taking it to the next steps. Taking it to the next steps, meaning shipping it about, actually selling it as a resource for a country in terms of revenue generation onwards. But. The next level, before we can look at outside, is developing local supply chains. And this is key because the local supply chains have been listed at this discussion as one of the barriers. As one of the barriers, meaning we can't just be locked out. We can't be excluded as Namibians. This is a resource that will be added into the portfolio of resources that we as a country actually enjoy, that we as a country will have to add at our disposal. It will be at our disposal. We know if you talk about uranium, we're not making use of uranium. We're not. Let's own up to that. We sit with a metal, a radioactive metal in high deposits or high volumes of deposits. Well, I still need to go read up how many, you know, how big these deposits are. But Namibia, I think it's Namibia, Russia, and Australia, we're almost on a similar level. It's just that Russia and Australia are the biggest, they have the biggest outputs with uranium. Namibia, we don't know because, you know, factor in terms of that, that mine, Husab, is the largest African, is the largest open pit uranium mine on the continent. So the question there is, you know, what's the true volume? What's the mass? What's the deposit? How big is the deposit of uranium? And we can't use uranium because we don't have the technology at our disposal. And if you had the technology, we would have gotten unnecessary attention from the International Energy Agency because the IAEA, is very concerned when countries start looking at having atomic energy or nuclear energy as a fuel source. Now, I won't go into depth in terms of adding in the potential in terms of the energy generation component of green hydrogen. It's because green hydrogen needs water. Green hydrogen needs water. Green hydrogen needs water. Now, in terms of this demand, is that the hydrogen supply will be based on offshore wind as well. These are some of the boosts that have been listed by the experts at this conference, and also that you've got solar and onshore winds. And Namibia has wind in abundance. We've got wind energy or access to wind energy, solar energy. We receive a lot of sunlight throughout the year, 365 days a year. And now you add in this new energy source. But remember, guys, it's not going to happen tomorrow. Factor in 10 years from now. That means 2032, when we will actually see fruition, you know, practicality, the thing operating in reality, being put to the test, being tested, being implemented, being linked to the various everyday life components that you and I, we see. Because if you're going to ask me, when? I'm just going to tell you 10 years from now. 10 years from now. Be patient. 10 years from now. That's all you can work with. That'll probably put me at becoming 48 in that component. But 10 years from now, that's all you can factor in. Now let's understand this also. Our planet is blessed with a plethora of energy sources. So the main question here becomes, what happens to the fuel? What happens to the petrol? Because you can't just go and discover for petrol, oil, find the oil deposits with its natural gas deposits. What happens then? And here's the other thing also. The same energy companies, which are the big oil companies in the world, are also getting into green hydrogen as well. The man from Worley just mentioned it this morning. He said Shell International is in a joint sort of a cooperative project there in Europe to look at the, you know, further feasibility of green hydrogen in a European sense. It's just smaller. That operation will be smaller than the one in that will be that is being envisioned, that is sort of like being thought of here in Namibia. Namibia's one will be way bigger than that European one. Way bigger. I say way bigger. But then the key thing here is, We have an abundance of energy sources. An abundance. Second onto that is also that the energy generation or electricity generation is that Namibia is part of a power pool of countries. A power pool, guys, means it's a cluster of countries that buys electricity from one country, i.e. South Africa, i.e. from Eskom. So it's a handful of countries that buy from one country. But one country is put under so much strain in terms of maintaining and keeping up to standard the equipment and their power generation units that they actually will neglect their own customers internally, not externally. We are the external customers. That's now South Africa. And yes, guys, I do feel sorry for the South Africans because it looks like a very twisted sense in terms of service provision, you know, that they would impose, I almost said lockdowns, but what's the thing's name that they love using? Load shedding conditions on their internal citizens and customers, which are supposed to be their first and foremost, most important customers. However, we in here in Namibia, we actually sit here enjoying lights on every day. No qualms, no issues, no complaints. You can switch on a light whenever. You can switch on your hot water tap. There's no issue. But the energy comes from one country. Now, obviously, green hydrogen will take that to another level. But, as I stress once again, I don't see anything here in front of me that speaks to the conversion of electricity. Electricity. To plug into a grid. To get NamPower into a competitive position. I don't see anything in terms of the first discussions. Look, there's a reason why I wanted the first discussions, because you get to see what the experts, the big brains were brought in and what they are thinking. Because in their slides, their PowerPoint slides, I didn't see anything of electricity. But there are things that look like power stations. They are labeled as storage units, manufacturing units. And as you and I know, a power station is a manufacturing unit, right? So we still have, there's still some time. There's still some time for changing the plans. These are all just initial steps. These are all just initial steps. But there's still time to change the scenario. Now, the biggest concern is here, guys, that unfortunately, climate change does not care anything in terms of us attending nice conferences, eating nice foods, drinking fancy coffees, having little fancy finger foods, hors d'oeuvres, as they're sometimes known as, because climate change is going on ahead. Climate change is going on ahead. I gave you the timeline in terms of what these guys were mentioning, looking at a scale of 5 to 10 years because of the magnitude of the project. Or projects within a big project. But the concern is...
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Now, the major thing is, coming back from that short break, was there is a deadline on the whole world. On the whole world. To find a cleaner solution, a cleaner answer to fossil fuels. Look, guys, last night I gave you the example in terms of where the United Nations researchers, climate researchers, found farting cows and farting cattle an issue. Yes, I laughed. I really laughed. I thought it was a dumb idea. I thought it truly was a very ludicrous idea. Until I went and read their motivation. They actually went, observed, and analyzed. Went, observed and analyzed their data. And I was convinced. I can understand their thinking. I was like, okay, for sure. Now, if we have to factor in that there is a deadline for the world to maintain a specific range of temperature between 1.5 degrees Celsius to 2 degrees Celsius to avoid that limit, because that's the limit, the range, the highest is the 2 degrees Celsius, to allow the world to become warmer. Now, here's the downside. If we are looking at this green hydrogen project, right, and the project will be based on our coastline of our country, the potential or the negative impact is a rising sea level. Now, a rising sea level puts infrastructure in harm's way. It puts it in a potential risk, or in a risky position, should I say. My English was going to be a little bit contorted there. Now, it puts it in a risky position, meaning you don't want equipment, you know, just newly constructed projects and project infrastructure to be flooded with water, because water is a big enemy of electricity and manufacturing components and equipment and personnel and just overall. Water is one of the natural sort of like destructive forces that can exist. Now, rising ocean levels is a major unavoidable risk. So that means there's actually much more at risk, much more at play, much more at stake than just potentially seeing how this can be converted into an energy and electricity setup. Well, you might say, oh, but Dwight, there'll be more seawater in terms available for, you know, generating the green hydrogen, you know, in the manufacturing process. Yes. Yes. But remember, the climate scientists have spoken of receding coastlines or sea levels rising so high, the natural landscape of something changes drastically, and it can change within a year. It can change within a year. And remember, I gave you a timeline which was mentioned at this conference of 10 years maximum. Now, 10 years from now, do you think our coastline will look the same? No, it will not look the same. If you want an example, just a basic observation example, I'll give you this test. If you go to Swakop, or you go to Swakopmund anytime in this year, take a photo now of the popular beach segments of Swakop, meaning the ones that are regularly visited, and then you come back the next time next year and you measure and you take a photo and you measure the same scenario, and you will see a different picture. You will see a different picture. It's either one of two things. Namibia does not actually have the currents that come with the Benguela cold current is one that deposits sediment. So in actual sense, the coastline can grow. But it's only in certain positions, in certain parts. Meaning other parts of the country, of the coastline might actually be eroding, taking from. Now understand, guys, I'm giving you a natural phenomenon that exists. It exists. It exists. Rising sea levels is a problem. It's a problem. And obviously, we are looking at exporting green hydrogen as well, or hydrogen. And we're trying to factor it into a transport component. And we're trying to factor it into a further sort of like a revolutionary aspect in terms of having another energy source. But my entire excitement, feeling of elation, feeling of, you know, not happiness. The thing is not there on the ground yet, so I can't be happy. I'm just excited. My feeling of excitement is not wholesome. It's not finished. It's not a finished product. It's not completed. What do I mean by that? It's the electricity aspect. I will always stress the electricity discussion. The electricity discussion is key. As I said, and as I will continuously say, the first and the main speakers didn't say anything about electricity generation. So socioeconomic development in the country, in Afrikaans we say Kistan met pakana, meaning we will still be standing with a begging expression, putting a cup in your hands in front of you, begging for electricity to the homes. Because the main thing would have been sorting out an electricity solution as well for the country. Having an electricity solution, an energy. If you say energy, you're talking electricity. But energy here has been spoken of in an export function and in a transport function. The transport function sounds great. Cool. There's nothing we can do about the major manufacturing complexes in South Africa. And I'm talking about Toyota, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, Ford. Who else is there? There is, I think, Mahindra as well. Mahindra, South Africa. There is BMW. There is, who else is there? There's another major company there as well. Nissan, South Africa. There is, what else? There's another company that also has a factory, an assembly plant in South Africa, a major car company, assembly plant. All those guys are in charge of revolutionizing personal transport. So we don't know. So far, that would be trade secrets for them. That would be their trade secrets, their solutions for tomorrow. We don't know. Because you're talking about fueling stations. And the only fueling station that has been mentioned here is for a truck, is for a boat, is for a plane, is for a train. Nothing for a car. So that means you and I, who have cars, who needs petrol and diesel, will still be relying on petrol and diesel. So we'll have a dirty fuel in our economy still, and we will have a clean fuel in our economy. Dirty meaning it's carbonized. It's a carbonized fuel. As I said last night, guys, you find carbon in everything on this planet. You have carbon in you, I have carbon in me. It's the basic building block element in, besides an atom, but it's the basic building block throughout life on this planet. Carbon. Everything is made from carbon. But still, we will still sit with two fuels in our country, and it doesn't answer the ultimate energy solution. You see, if we are going to make commitments at COP26, we should look at revolutionizing everything. If you didn't hear that, everything. Everything. I mean, guys, when Henry Ford came up with mass production for the Model T Ford in 1900, the Model T Ford was a consumer product. It was a consumer product. Now, we cannot think of a transport solution for a clean energy solution, but it's only contained at an industrial level, not at a consumer level. Not at a consumer level. And even if we talk about a clean energy solution, we're not even talking about an energy solution for electricity. A clean energy solution. Remember, the South African power plants at Eskom in South Africa run on coal. Coal-powered power plants are one of the major issues for contributing to climate change. You cannot ignore it. It is pumping as much carbon monoxide into the air. Is it carbon monoxide? But still, it's carbon being blown into the air. So what does that actually mean? For the next 10 years, by 2032, we'll still be based upon, or we'll still be reliant on electricity coming from South Africa, which actually does not mean that we will be uncoupled or delinked or disconnected or unconnected or deconnected or whatever, you know, just doing the opposite in terms of taking us from being dependent upon South African generated electricity. Obviously, it's to help our neighbor, you know, it's a continuous bilateral agreement. And I'm not saying, that we should have bad relations. We should. I mean, there's many benefits that Namibia is still enjoying from South Africa, from being a major trade partner with South Africa. But still, if you come up with a clean energy, why are we not talking about an electricity supply? Why not? Why not? Electricity. You see, the main thing here would have allowed us to actually have such a competitive advantage on the African continent. Remember the African Free Trade Agreement, the AFCTA agreement that we applauded and that we promoted as a country there last year, and I'm talking about the when our own delegates went and attended that agreement summit last year. The main component was that it would have allowed us to have this economic powerhouse. Now, energy, guys, energy is one of the key industries that you want to have as a country, or to be in charge of as a country, that everyone will come and talk to you. I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. Meaning, you want to actually be in the leadership role. For example, Angola, Libya. Who's the other oil producing country on the continent? Angola, Libya, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon. There's another energy producing country. They enjoy major rewards in terms of income generation. The reward obviously is that the money is always there. The money is always being bought from another, is always being provided by another countries, by other countries. And this would have allowed us to be the kings of Southern Africa, to be the kings of energy production in Southern Africa, to actually indicate to our big southern, to our big southern neighbor, our big brother from the south, hey, listen, buy from us. We would have been able to tell Angola, hey, listen, get off oil, buy from us. We would have been able to tell Botswana, hey, listen, stop it, buy from us. We would have been able to tell Zambia and Zimbabwe, hey, listen, buy from us. We would have been the energy pioneers in Southern Africa. We would have been the energy, we can still be the energy pioneer heading into the rest of the continent. Because once again, what I saw in one of the presentations coming through was...
So, jy het gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordragbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, just before we end off for today's discussion, I know guys, I ignored the phone lines for today, but still, there's an opportunity still for tomorrow night. You can just keep and record your contributions that you wanted to add in for tomorrow night. You can come and mention it then. But what I just wanted to end off in terms of just for tonight's ending is that the reason my excitement is not wholesome, is not completed, being that, looking at why wasn't electricity not being touted as the major aspect. Many of the presentations that I saw were incomplete in the sense of that they were only looking at sourcing or servicing or selling to Europe. Yeah, you heard me. It looked that way. The discussions, the rhetoric used was all about, listen, it has the capacity to link in transportation routes and as well as also export routes to Namibia. Now, when you use the word export, that just I immediately tells you it's a component of selling. You are selling. You are not saying local consumption, expansion into the rest of the Southern African continent. You know, I mean, come on, guys. What happened to that common cause of saying, listen, let's pull together on the continent. Let's work together in Africa. Let's work together in Southern Africa. Let's help each other. Let's develop with each other. Because, I mean, if the French, the Spanish, the Italians, and the Germans can do it to build a nuclear reactor in Southern France, if various other energy sources, or let's just even say the guys that are angry, that are very angry at each other, they are very emotional with each other, meaning the US and America are working together in space exploration and in nuclear science, why are we not doing the same? Potentially it is there. It has potentially not been sort of like, you know, the exposed as yet to the broader Namibian society, but still, we were just hearing here of, yeah, we've got experts coming in from the world, coming to provide their expertise in this green hydrogen component and, you know, taking things there. And then the investment, the initial first investment of 30 million euros being also unveiled earlier today. And you're like, it's not the money component. It's not there. We're looking at where it impacts everyone. Everyone. Where it benefits everyone. Now, I mentioned to you electricity firstly, meaning when you switch on your lights at home. And secondly, the fuel you put into your car, meaning what does it do? What does it do? Those two discussions were vacant and void. Vacant and void because this is being geared for industrial use, industrial only use. So that means we might still see oil for quite an extended time in the Namibian transport market, meaning for you, for me, for us who drive any kind of vehicle, wherein you just need a code. Is it a code C or is it a code B license? You know, that the normal license and the extension one, and then just the further, you know, expansions in terms of allowing you to be a passenger transport operator when you are either a taxi driver or these long distance drivers, commuting drivers between towns. That's all. So that means we will still be dependent and reliant upon petrol and diesel. The idea here is to get off petrol and diesel. Get off it. Get away from it. We have now seen how vulnerable this fuel is. This fuel source has been used in a political play. We've now seen it. But that brings me up to the end of today's discussion here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. This has been your Business and Economic Zone. Stay tuned for the matriarch, and as she will be pulling your heartstrings, please, guys, expose your heartstrings. Please, please, please. You know, it's all good and well to see how they are being played like a little, what do they call it? I almost said harmonica, but like a good guitar. Please expose your heartstrings. Lay them out bare. Let's all of us hear it. And stay tuned for the rest of your programming tonight.